This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Rick Rousseau is a minister friend of mine from Longmont, Colorado, and he's described what it's like to have to preach week after week better than any other analogy I've ever heard of, because I could really relate to it. He said, preaching week after week is like having a baby on Sunday morning, waking up Monday morning to find out you're pregnant again, and you have to do it all over again, and the next Sunday you have a baby, and then Monday morning you're pregnant again. And because you're constantly under that pressure to create and work, and thank God the Lord helps you with that. But that was a great analogy or word picture for me. It's a story that I associate with Billy Graham, because I heard Billy Graham tell it years ago about the typical coal mining accident in eastern Kentucky or West Virginia. A number of miners are trapped in the cave, and there's communication established, crude communication with the coal miners before the days of radios and that kind of thing. And according to this story told by Billy Graham, one of the coal miners could be heard tapping out in Morse code the same question over and over. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? That's all he wanted to know. He didn't want to know, when are you going to get us out of here? He didn't ask for a time frame. He just said, is there any hope? And the thought occurred to me, and there are people in this room, just as there were people in the first service, who are privately asking the same question. Is there any hope for our family? Is there any hope for our marriage? Is there any hope for our extended family? Is there any hope for this country? Is there any hope for grandma or grandpa in their sickness? And life is oftentimes asking the question, is there any hope? All of that to lead in to the message today from 1 Corinthians, where we point out the fact that there is hope, and it's only in the Lord. The only hope, and I do mean only, that you have, that I have, is not in a philosophy or a concept. It's in the risen Lord. Underline the word risen. There's a movement in the world today. It's not just in our country. It's worldwide, to diminish, discount, or dismiss the idea of the resurrection of Christ, to somehow say that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. That's behind it all. And if you do that, you eliminate all the power from Christianity. Romans 1 would say that Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by what? His miracles? No. It doesn't say Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by the Beatitudes or Sermon on the Mount. Absolutely not. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That's where the power is. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a doctor in England, a medical doctor. He practiced medicine for 6 years when he felt the call of God upon his life to go in the ministry. So here you are, a medical doctor. You're trained as a doctor. And what do? And he prepared for the ministry. He became known as the greatest preacher in England of his day, in his generation, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he would say this: without the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity. It's not a matter of that being a severe blow to Christianity or a real negative thing. There is no Christianity without the resurrected Christ. So in the series that we're preaching through this book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at the classic passage where Paul says, here it is in a nutshell, the only hope that you have and I have, it's in the resurrection. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. We pick it up with verse 1. Paul is speaking. Now, brothers, I want to remind you, Paul says, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Underline those words, if you underline in your Bible, of first importance. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom who are still living. Still living when? When this was written. Though some of them have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, underline this verse, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I've said it before, but I believe it with all my heart. Tell me what you believe about the resurrection or you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, and I will tell you what kind of man you are. Tell me what you believe about the resurrection or you don't believe about the resurrection, and I'll tell you something of what kind of woman you are, because your belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, or your disbelief, lack of belief in that, will color, it will impact everything else you believe in life. We are the result of what we believe physiologically. We're the result of what we believe emotionally. And you are the result of what you believe in so many ways. And the ultimate way is you are the result of what you believe about the resurrection. Let's bring up verse 1 again, if we can, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, I want to remind you. So much of preaching is just reminding people of what they already know. Remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. You receive the gospel and then you take your stand on it. You know, some of you politically have taken a stand in your political positions and you're quick to point out what you believe about certain political issues. That's your prerogative. Some of you are very opinionated, perhaps, about a family issue, and you say, I don't care what so-and-so says. I don't care what grandma says about it. I believe this is what happened. And you stand on that, and here's my point. Whatever you stand on, where you say, I won't waver at all, make sure you stand on this thing, that Jesus Christ is alive. And because he's alive and because he lives, we will live also. Verse 2, by this gospel, you are saved. That's a good biblical word. We don't use it a lot today about, you know, being saved, but it's a biblical word. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Now go right into verse 3, if you will. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. I want to ask you a personal question. For some reason, I didn't ask this in the first service, but I think it's a valid question. What would you describe in your life today, right now, that is of first importance? Now, here's the deal on that. You're the only one who knows that. Some of you privately would say, well, it's my job that is of first importance. Some of you would say, well, it's a certain relationship I have. That's of first importance. Others would say, well, no, it's my money. That's of first importance. My point being is that you know what is of first importance in your life. And it's significant that Paul says, no, I'll tell you what is of first importance. And then he goes on to give the gospel, the good news. Let's go right into it. It's that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Everything about the gospel can be distilled down to those words. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Everything about the gospel can be distilled down to those words. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Folks, you have got to believe that, not as some story in history, as some philosophical concept. It is the truth of your life, the greatest truth of your life, or it's nothing. I really believe it's that simple. Either the gospel is the foundation of everything that makes you you, or just throw it away. And if it is what it claims to be, it is the life-giving, life-changing power of God, then it does make a difference, a big difference, what you believe about the gospel. Paul then goes in to talk about the resurrection appearances of Jesus to different people, to as many as 500 people at one time. And then he talks about himself in humility. If you'd bring up verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I'm not going to go into this, but many of you perhaps don't know this, but before The Apostle Paul became the apostle. He was a persecutor of the church. He was called a Christian killer. And God went to that person, that man who was a killer of Christians, and said, "You're going to be a spokesman for the kingdom. I'm going to use you in a mighty way." And that's why Paul would say, in all serious humility, "I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle." But here's where we're going to focus for a few minutes on verse 10, because this is somebody's verse today. You came to church today and you don't even know it, just to hear this verse, because it'll speak to you. Verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." I want to suggest to you, anything good in your life, anything good in your career, anything good in your marriage, anything good in your family, anything good in this church, everything is by the grace of God. You say, what does that mean? Grace means unmerited or undeserved favor. Unmerited, in other words, we don't deserve it, we haven't earned it, but God gives it to us anyway. And it's the most humbling moment in a man's life or a woman's life when they realize that everything I have, everything I am, everything I do, it's all by the grace of God. May I tell you why it's important for you to believe that? Because some people believe their own resume. Some people believe their own resume and they think, "I have done it all. And I have accomplished this. And I have," to use an expression out of the Old Testament, "I have pulled myself up, so to speak, by my own bootstraps. I'm the one who's done this." And the most religious, spiritual moment in a man's life, a woman's life, is when they say verse 10 for their story, "It's by the grace of God that I am what I am." Somebody needs to say that privately to the Lord today. "I am what I am by the grace of God." What has happened in your life just in the last year that you can point to and say, "It's by the grace of God"? I don't know how you were raised. I don't know how you would describe your childhood. It's interesting. You talk to 10 people about their childhood and you will get a variety of descriptions. You will have some that will talk about the pleasantness of their childhood. You have others that will say, "No, it wasn't too pleasant. It was very difficult." Well, maybe it's good that we're running out of time today, because I can do a disclaimer about this story that you will hear at the beginning of Cross Hope tomorrow. It's a very heavy-duty, depressing story about a person's childhood, but we want to share it as a part of this message from 1 Corinthians 15 tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Well, yesterday when we ended our program, I told you we were going to share with you a very depressing story about a person's childhood. I want to mention that as a disclaimer or a warning. If you have children present in the car, it may be something that you don't want them to hear, because it's very heavy. It's not graphic, it's just heavy. That's the warning I want to give you today as we continue this message from 1 Corinthians 15. I don't know how you were raised. I don't know how you would describe your childhood. It's interesting. You talk to 10 people about their childhood and you will get a variety of descriptions. You will have some that will talk about the pleasantness of their childhood. You have others that will say, "No, it wasn't too pleasant. It was very difficult." So the responses in a room today would be just a myriad of different responses. I want you to hear probably one of the most depressing descriptions of a person's childhood that I've ever heard. It's by Dwight Walter, who describes himself as an ACOA. I'd never heard that term until I read this years ago. ACOA is an adult child of an alcoholic. He wrote a poem called "The Taste of Fire." It is the most depressing poem I've ever read in my life. Here it goes. "I was crippled for 5 years as a child. I was raised by 2 sick people who taught me 3 things: insanity, fear, and hatred." Can you imagine saying that I was taught 3 things: insanity, fear, and hatred? And then he says this: "I was raised in hell. I was raised in hell. Chaos felt very comfortable. Chaos felt like home. Chaos felt like home. And yet I want to tell you that out of his chaos and out of his hellish experience saying, I was raised in hell, the hand of God reached down and touched his life and worked in his life in such a way that his life was never the same. My point is this, the same God that reached down and touched Dwight Walter can do that to you and with you. The God who can take a man who said, I was raised in hell, and give him a taste of heaven is the God that can change your life. God who said, I can take a man who was raised in chaos, total confusion, and say, I'll bring order. I'll bring functionality into that person's life is the same God that can do that to you and with you and in you because of the grace of God. The grace of God will do more for your life, get this, than any book you'll ever read. The grace of God will help you more than any counseling you will ever receive. The grace of God will do more than any self-help guru you go to. The grace of God will change your life like it changed the Apostle Paul. And so when Paul said, it's by the grace of God, I am what I am, you can leave here today and say, it's by the grace of God, I am what I am. I really am so strong on this idea of believing in the resurrection of Christ being foundational for your life to this point, that there may be things in your life that you think you have to believe about the Bible, and you definitely believe this, and I believe that. And my point is this, if the resurrection of Christ didn't happen, the rest of it doesn't matter. As Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, if there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. That's why it's so important, not only to know it and to hear about it and read about it, but to believe it, that Jesus Christ is alive. And he could say with power and authority, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, if you and I really believe that statement, it would change everything about who we are and what we are. It would change your marriage. It would change your home. It might change your career. It might change the way you look at life. And I know it'll change the way you look at death. Our website is crosshope.org. My grandmother became a believer in Jesus Christ as an adult. Some of you came to Christ as an adult. And so you know that it's a little different coming to Christ as an adult than as a child or a teenager. I think there's different issues going on. She had children. She had a family. She worked at a steel mill during World War II, you know, as a lot of women did in Chicago area at Inland Steel, working to provide steel for our nation during the war. And so it was as an adult that she said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I accept him as the Lord of my life. You need to know that because one of her neighbors was a young man in his 20s by the name of Carl, who was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And the word going around the neighborhood was that Carl didn't have long to live. So my grandmother didn't call the minister of the church. She just took it upon herself. She didn't have to do it, obviously. She said, I'm going to go talk to Carl. So my grandmother took her Bible and she went over to Carl's house and said, Carl, I'm new at this. This is all brand new to me. I just gave my life to Christ recently, but I just want to share some verses out of the scripture. And she shared with him John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. She shared other scriptures that she could think of. And then I thought my grandmother did something interesting. She closed her Bible and said, Carl, that's all I know to share with you. I don't have anything more other than that. And Carl, you can accept what I've just told you and accept Christ, or you can reject it. And I'll always remember my grandmother telling me years after the experience, she said there were tears coming down Carl's face, and he said, Mrs. Starks, I accept it. I accept it. But here's the end of the story. That man, Carl, was dead 3 weeks later. He died of his illness. And I know what some people would say. They would say, well, you know, Carl was terminal and he was probably filled with emotion. And probably knowing Carl in that terminal state, he was just grasping at anything that came along. You could have explained anything to him and he would have accepted it. You can say that all you want. Let me tell you this. We're all terminal. The day you were born, you were declared terminal. The day you were born, you were terminal. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, not twice, not three times or 50 times. It's appointed unto man once to die, and get this, after that, what? The judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after the judgment. I want to tell you what my grandmother did for Carl. She introduced him to the resurrected Christ. My grandmother introduced somebody who was dying, who had 3 weeks to live, who was terminal, who was living on the edge of eternity, and she had an opportunity to introduce him to the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life is really what he said there. The message today is this. What you believe about the resurrection matters because it's the only hope, and I do mean the only hope. Your hope is not in your education. Your hope is not in your career. It's not in your resume. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your 401k or whatever you have. Our hope is in the Lord. Always has been, always will be. And our hope is not only in the Lord, our hope is in what Jesus Christ accomplished in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Your sins were taken away, and so were mine. Hope was given, not only for tomorrow, but hope for eternity. Same for me. Everything that's connected to the word, a four-letter word, H-O-P-E, is connected with Jesus Christ. Would you go home with that today? Everything connected with hope is connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ equals hope.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.